Well, if you would like to turn in your Bibles, the sermon text this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. This is God's holy word, his inerrant, inspired, and infallible word. So, people of God, pay careful attention. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now please join me as we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the preaching of his word. Our great God in heaven, we plead your further mercies this morning that you would take your word and that you would open it up for us, that you would give us knowledge of what it means, you would give us insight into what it means for us personally, that your Spirit would remove all obstacles from our paying careful attention, and even more, remove all sinful obstacles that we have where we resist putting your word into practice in our lives, where we need to repent and trust you more and follow what your word says. I pray that your Spirit would work that grace in our lives, that you would give us a strong trust in our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we would be able to cast all our cares upon you, because we know that you care for us. You've shown it in the love that you have for us by sending Christ to die for our sins. We pray that we would see the glory of our Savior in your word this morning. And we pray it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I mentioned in the sermon last week that I do a fair amount of flying. And I've flown a lot over the last 10 years or so, including a good number of trips across the ocean, across the Atlantic to England, where we lived for 3 years. And I went through a period of flying around that time, actually about a little over 10 years ago, where I don't even really know where it came from, but I developed an extremely intense fear of flying. It just seemed to kind of come from nowhere. It didn't help that I had two friends in England who also had an intense fear of flying, and we would fly across the ocean together, sort of made it worse for each of us. But I had this really strong fear, and honestly, it kind of was debilitating for a while. I just didn't know where it came from and why I was so afraid of flying. But it took me, interestingly enough, just thinking about flying some and studying modern planes and how they're designed and how they're built and all the safety procedures that go through them We'll bracket out what's been happening lately with Boeing, but I talk to pilots and things, and I learn from these pilots certain things about turbulence. You know, for whatever reason, turbulence is what really made me uncomfortable. I learned that turbulence is just normal. When you hit water vapor in the air, you're going to have turbulence. There's no way around that. When there's wind, there's going to be turbulence. And so I learned all these things. I learned, for instance, that the most dangerous part of my trip is when I drive to the airport rather than when I'm actually on the plane flying, because it's much safer to be in a plane. So, you know, these are earthly things. You know, this I had to also learn in some ways to trust God. Certainly that was a part of it. But getting a new perspective on flying helped me get over that, realizing that it is actually safe, realizing that these pilots know what they're doing. It was getting that new perspective. It really changed how I saw flying. Jesus here in our text, in what he's saying in the Sermon on the Mount here about anxiety, it requires us to arrive at a new perspective about our lives. We have to have a new vision of what God does for us in our lives if we're going to be able to move past the different fears and the different anxieties that we face. What happens for us, for all of us, we all have different things and different reasons to be fearful, to be anxious, and to worry. I don't think there's a single one of us here that it doesn't have something that's causing us very easily to worry. And what Jesus gives us in these words is he gives us that new vantage point. He gives us that new perspective on our lives to be able to cast our cares on him and to cast all of our anxieties on him and to know that he cares for us and that he'll take care of those. You know, last week, we heard from our Savior about how we must not lay up treasure for ourselves on earth, but rather lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And so it was a very strong word about the necessity of not finding our hope in earthly things, how we have to repent even of the ways in which we have set our hope on the passing things of this world, on our possessions. This is really, this text this morning is really the second part of that. And it's so necessary for us, because here, what Jesus is doing is, after he has given us that command, don't set your heart on your possessions, he's giving us now such a strong encouragement for why we should not set our heart on possessions. Why do we set our heart on earthly things? We do it because we think that those are the most important things. Those are the things that give us pleasure. You know, we set our heart on earthly things because to some degree we need those things. And so we can lose sight of God. And Jesus is telling us here, he's showing us so powerfully that he will take care of all of those things. That all of those earthly needs that we have, he will take care of. And so that's a powerful motivation for us as God's children, as God's people, then, to put into practice what we read about last week, to not live for earthly things, to not fix our hearts on our possessions. We even see that very explicitly in the first word, in verse 25. Therefore, right? Jesus is connecting what he says here to what had just come before. Don't set your heart on your possessions. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So he's going to give us the reasons now for not trying to serve money and God at the same time, and to not be anxious about the things of life. Jesus is saying to us, in effect, in this text that we've heard this morning, yes, Your Heavenly Father, He knows that you need all of these things. He knows everything that you need in life. He knows that you need many things in life. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry. Give them up to Him. And don't worry. He will take care of you. He'll take care of everything. Your focus must be on Him, on the kingdom of God. Don't worry about those other things. Don't worry about your possessions. Don't set your heart on your possessions. Set your heart on Christ, and God will take care of everything else. And you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing. There's not a single part of your life, not one single aspect of your life that God will ever forget about and that He won't take care of. That's the encouragement and the hope that Christ leaves us with in this text this morning, in this preaching of His. And I want to examine this with you this morning under three headings. The three ways in which Jesus is showing us that we don't need to worry and that we shouldn't worry. First of all, He shows us that our life matters more than clothes and food. Secondly, He tells us, He reminds us that you don't actually get and you can't get what you need by worrying about it. And then thirdly and finally, you must seek God's kingdom above everything else, and God will take care of all the rest. That's how you'll find what you need in this life, is that you set your heart on Christ and His kingdom, and God takes care of everything else. So let's look at these points then as we move through the text. Your life matters more than clothes and food. It's verses 25 and 26. The first reason that Jesus gives us for not being anxious about the things of daily life, about what you're going to eat, what you're going to be to drink, what you're going to put on your body. Right? So the basic necessities of life. We all have to eat. We all have to drink. We all have to clothe ourselves. These are the basic things of life that everyone has to have. Every human being needs these things. And it can often be the case that we become anxious about those basic things of life. We can become anxious about being able to provide those things for ourselves and for our families. And I think this includes much more than just food and drink and clothes. It's all the normal things of life that we need. So Jesus points us to the birds, to the birds of the air, and He says, look at them. They don't do anything, do they? They don't have jobs. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't go out and sow fields and grow crops and then gather in the crops. And yet, they always have food. They can always find the food. And more than that, God feeds them. I think that's what's so remarkable, is that it's telling us God cares about the birds. He feeds them. He makes sure that they have food. But really, the birds aren't that important. The birds aren't the main thing that Jesus is emphasizing. He wants to tell us that if God cares about the birds and He makes sure that they have enough and that they have food, do you think He's going to forget about you? Do you think He's going to forget about His redeemed children, you know, His precious children? And even as you ask the question, you realize how ridiculous that would be. Birds don't have souls. Birds are not really that important. And yet God makes sure that they have enough. Of course He's not going to forget about you. Of course He's going to make sure that you have enough. Of course He's going to provide for you. It would be as if you are somehow less than the sparrows that you see all around you if God forgot about you. If he forgot to provide for your daily needs. But Jesus, he says more than just that. He says, are you not of more value than they? Which is actually literally, are you not more than them? And is not your life more than even food and clothing? He's trying to elevate our perspective here. Food and clothing, that's not the most important thing in life, isn't it? Isn't your life more than that? Isn't your life more than just going about, you know, trying to get more things for yourself? I think that's really one of the ways in which it's connected back to the teaching about possessions. Don't set your heart on possessions, right? What are these possessions? God knows you need them. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows you need a place to live. He knows you need all these things. But our hearts are such that we easily set our hearts on those things. We easily become focused on them instead of on God. And so Jesus is saying, isn't your life more than that? You know, what is clothes? And isn't your life more than that, than just gaining for yourself more and more and more? And I think we could use clothes as a symbol for anything, really. Any kind of earthly thing that you might need. Whatever we fill our houses with, you know, our cars, whatever it is. God knows. But your life is more than that. Your life is more important than that. And so we've got to change our perspective to see that the most important thing is that we know Christ and that we are serving Christ, that we're orienting our lives toward Christ, toward the love of God, toward serving God and not serving mammon, not serving money, not serving possessions. So Jesus is trying to elevate our perspective to see that life is more than that. But he reminds us, it's not as if we have to become some sort of hyper-spiritual, almost inhuman being where we distance ourselves from all earthly things. We go out into the desert and we become a hermit in the desert living in rags, right? That's not what God calls us to. He knows that we need those things for life, but he wants us to see that those are not the most important things. That God will take care of those things. That he knows you need them. He's not going to forget about them. I think to elevate our perspective, this is why knowing who God is, truly knowing who God is so important. You know, in Sunday school a while back, we had studied the attributes of God. And sometimes studying the attributes of God can be kind of deep and difficult and complex, but it really is central to our faith that we know who God is. We know the character of God. How can we trust him if we don't know who he is? How can we trust him if we don't know that he is a sovereign God? That he holds not just our lives in his hand, but that every single detail of every single aspect of this creation for all of eternity, God holds that in his hand, that he is working his perfect, all-wise plan even as we speak, and he's bringing it to its completion on the last day. How can we cast our cares? How can we not be anxious if we don't know who God is, if we don't know his character, that he's a sovereign God, and not just that, but that he loves us. That's what he's showing us here. Not just that he's in control, but that he cares about even the smallest details of our lives, down to what we wear and to what we eat. Now, that's the first point that Jesus gives us. The second is he is reminding us that you cannot get what you need in life by worrying about it. And of course, he tells us that because he knows that we're prone to thinking in that way. Now, I don't think that we necessarily consciously think in that way, but I think that is often in the back of our mind. You know, it's kind of in our subconscious, is that I have so many things in life that I am responsible for. Or there are so many different things that are going on around me, in the world around me, in my own life, maybe with my job or with my family, all these different things. And we think, I've gotta figure it out, I've gotta map it out, I've gotta think about it, I've gotta get it all worked out perfectly so that I can fix everything, so that I can arrange everything so that it'll work out properly. And we probably don't even realize it. We probably don't even think that as we're doing that, that we're actually giving in to worry, that we're succumbing to worry. Right? But I think that's often truly what's going on in our hearts, is that we think that worry is going to fix it. That's why we worry. We think that if I have it perfectly figured out, then I'm gonna fix the problem. And often that actually is just worry. It's just anxiety that's in our hearts. And so Jesus here, he says, which of you, verse 27, by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Can you lengthen your life by worrying? And we should take that as more than just literally thinking, can you extend your life? But maybe that's even a part of it. I think what Jesus is saying is, can you get those things that you need in life for yourself, those things that you worry about, by worrying about them? And if we didn't do that, if we weren't so prone to doing that, Jesus wouldn't be saying this. But we are. That's what each one of us is very prone to do, is to look at all the things around us and to begin to worry about them and to fear about them. And really, it's because we think that that's somehow going to fix the problem or enable us to fix the problem. And so what Jesus is saying here, well, he gives another example. He points then to the flowers instead of just the birds. And here he's referring to clothing. Why are you anxious about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God causes beautiful flowers to grow in the world. He gives them the grass. He gives it its clothing in this beautiful array of all of these flowers. And the flowers don't do anything. How irresponsible of them. They don't even care. They don't work. They get all of this benefit by doing nothing. Just seem like lazy bums, don't they? That's a flower. And God causes the flowers of the field to be beautiful and to grow. If God cares about the flowers, you think he's going to forget you? You think he's going to forget what you need, the clothing that you need? So Jesus is saying what you need to do as you hear this is you really just simply need to let go of your fears, let go of your anxieties, let go of your worries. And so, brothers and sisters, I want you to try a radical experiment. There's all sorts of things in your life, right? Maybe it is fear about having enough to provide for your family, fear about your job situation, fear about things going on in your family, anxieties about the state of the world that we live in, the state of our own nation, anxieties about the future. How am I going to be able to provide for my parents as they get older? Or for those of you who are getting older, you know, thinking about your own health and providing for yourself. We think about what are we going to do? The expenses of getting older and all of the things that go along with that, right? There's a million things to worry about in life. There's all of these things that swirl around us. Our health, the state of our health can be a worry. And what Jesus is saying is simple. Stop worrying about it. Stop thinking about it. I mean, he's really saying it that simply. Just stop. Just trust God to take care of these things. He will. God is not going to tell us to stop worrying about them if he's not also going to take care of them. Right? He's promising us that he will take care of these things. He will deal with all these troubles that we face. We don't have to. That might even seem irresponsible, right? You might hear that and you think, well, I've got all these responsibilities. I've got to provide for my family. I've got to provide for my future. I have to take care of things. And Jesus is saying, stop worrying. Stop thinking about it. God is taking care of these things for you. So that's the radical experiment. I want you to just take Jesus at his word this week and stop worrying about those things. Even stop thinking about them, because you know that God has those things and he has you in his hand. He's going to take care of those things. He's going to provide for you. And it's amazing what happens when you do that. You just let it go. Now, there's a phrase in the Christian life, let go and let God. And sometimes that phrase is actually really horrible, because people, what they mean by that is essentially, God's just going to change you and you don't do anything, right? There's no sense in which you as a Christian have to strive after holiness. You just let go and let God. That's not biblical. But I think there's another way in which we could use that phrase, which is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Let go and let God. He's saying, let go of your anxieties. Let go of your worries. Just let them go. Let them float away with the wind. And trust me. Trust God. Because he cares about you. And he cares about the smallest details of your life. Even down to what you wear, to what you eat, to what you drink. He cares about birds. He cares about flowers. How much more his children? Now, that's not a call to be irresponsible. It's not a call to not fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us. Right? We're called to live faithfully before the Lord. We're called to faithfully provide for our families. We're called to work hard in our labors in life. But it is a call to remember that we are not ultimately the ones that provide our security and our safety and our stability. It's God. He provides all of those things. We worry because we think our worry is going to fix our problems. Worry is, Jesus says, it's a problem of faith. It's a problem of doubt. You know, oh, you of little faith. It's because we're not trusting God to take care of all of our needs. Now, we have plenty, as I said, to worry about in life. We have plenty to worry about. If we look around, there's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot going on in our lives. But we simply cast those cares upon God and know that he will take care of them. But Jesus doesn't end there. And this is our final point. He wants to change and shift our perspective away from ourselves and toward the kingdom of God, toward the advancement of the kingdom of God. What does he say at the end of all of this? Well, he says in verse 32, after he said that we should not be anxious, he says, the Gentiles, they seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but you, I'm adding that word, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right, the Gentiles, the peoples who don't know Christ, the peoples of this world, they live for mammon. They live for earthly possessions. They obsess over those things. Those are the only things that provide them, well, at least that they think will provide them comfort, or that will provide them hope, or that will provide them goodness. So they seek those things. Why wouldn't they? What else would they seek? What do those who don't know Christ, what do they have? What do they have to live for? Right? So they live for the things of this world. They set their hearts on the things of their world. They seek after those things, Jesus says. And it's a temptation for us to do the same, to seek those things. And so he says, no, God knows you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God. What then is one of the chief antidotes to the poison of anxiety and the poison of worry and the poison of fear in our life? It's to change our perspective. It's to lift our eyes up to Christ and to his kingdom and to seek his kingdom above all else. That's where Jesus leaves us. He says, God knows you need these things. He will supply them for you. But you, brothers and sisters, you seek his kingdom first. Change your perspective to where life in the kingdom is what gives you joy. Life in the kingdom is what animates you. That you are seeking to build eternal treasure for yourself in Christ. That's what we saw last week, is that if we set our hearts on Christ and we live for him and not for possessions, not for money, then we build for ourselves a great storehouse of eternal treasure, eternal joy in the Lord. If we live for the things of the world, then we are living for something that will not last. And so Christ is saying we must set our heart on the kingdom, living for the king, living for the kingdom. Everything, our entire lives, oriented towards the advance of Christ's kingdom in the world. And that's going to be different for each one of us. Some might be called to be elders and pastors and deacons, but the rest of us are still to set our heart on the advance of the kingdom. Right? That means making the people of God and church and gathered worship a priority in your life. It means making fellowship with the people of God and edification, mutual edification of one another in the Lord, making that a priority in your life. Making corporate worship a priority, but also family worship, worshiping together as husbands and wives or as parents with their children, worshiping together, making a time to read God's word together and to pray together and to worship together, to sing God's praises together, being in the word individually and in prayer. You know, everything that we do, orienting it toward the advance of the kingdom. And what Jesus is saying is if you focus your vision on the kingdom, then your worries are going to fade away. All of those things that so easily cause you anxiety and worry, you're going to find that those fade away to the exact proportion to which you are setting your heart on the advance of the kingdom, that you're setting your heart on the king himself, on Christ. So we must, of course, be responsible people. We must, of course, be diligent people. But we must orient every aspect of our life to the kingdom and give up our worries, give up our cares to God, and know that he will deal with them faithfully. Now, Jesus likes to do this in his teaching. He likes to end a lot of things he says with a punchline almost, a kind of summary at the end. And he does that here in verse 34. And this is how I want to bring this to a close this morning. It's his words where he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's really a good summary of everything he said here. And it's just a very powerful, even paradoxical way of talking to us about anxiety and about worry. When you really start to think about what he's saying here, it's in some ways it's even hard to really understand it completely. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. But what he's trying to do there is he's trying to say, tomorrow will take care of its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own troubles, and it's gonna deal with that. Sufficient is what you have to face today, and sufficient is God's grace for what you have to face today. Don't worry about what's coming tomorrow. Don't worry about what's coming the day after. Don't worry about what's coming this November. You know, don't worry about all these things. The grace of God will be sufficient when that day arrives. His grace is always sufficient. He will provide. Don't worry about those. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't be anxious about what's coming. God loves you in Christ. Stop worrying. Try it. Just stop. I know it feels irresponsible, but just stop. Don't worry about the things of life. God loves you in Christ. If you're in Christ, God loves you with a perfect love in Christ. And he has already proven his love for you. He's shown his love for you in sending Christ to die on the cross. He's already given you what you need more than anything else, which is a Savior who shed his own blood for you, who loved you with a perfect eternal love. He's met your greatest need. How then can we worry about all these other things? Do we think that God, if he gave Christ for our salvation, is going to forget about these other things? Is he going to forget about our financial needs, about our jobs, about our health, about our future, about our children and our grandchildren and our parents? Is he going to forget about any of those things? And even as I ask the question, I know you know the answer. Of course not. So, people of God, brothers and sisters, really, stop worrying. God loves you in Christ. And he knows what you need. And he promises to provide it. Do you think he'll ever forget? Do you think he'll ever forget you? Of course not. Let's pray.